Take your Bibles, open to 2 Corinthians 5:10 and Revelation chapter 20. 2 Corinthians 5:10 and Revelation chapter 20. We will be to those passages here momentarily. 2 Corinthians 5:10, Revelation 20. Have you ever faced a judgment or a judge before? I have. You say, what did you do wrong, Pastor? I don't recall whether I've ever stood before a government judge. I think I may have the first time I got a ticket. Actually, it's the only time I got a ticket. I can't say that's the only time that I should have got a ticket. But that was back when I was 18, so that's been a while ago. But I do remember very vividly something that happened a few years later. My son, who's on his way to Texas this morning for an internship for the week with my cousin, it's a part of an honors program he does to school, has to do for school, is the kind that never gets the merits or points in school. He's more like his mother. And a little less like his father. I'm afraid I couldn't say that. In college, we got these things called the merits. And if we did certain things that we were not supposed to do, or if we didn't do certain things we were supposed to do, you had to go stand before this, go see this council of people made up of mainly faculty called the Discipline Committee. And I don't think my wife probably ever stood in that line. But I stood in that line on a few occasions, and it wasn't pleasant because not only did you have to go talk to a faculty member and get punished for whatever you had done, they made you wait in line for about an hour to do it, so it was kind of excruciating. But one time I did something really stupid, not immoral, but stupid and unruly, and I had to go talk to the dean of students. I had just started dating Kate, and I told her before I went, I said, I don't know if I'm going to be here next week because of the stupid thing that I did. And I was a nervous wreck. And the day came, and I had my appointment, and the dean of students showed mercy on me for my stupidity, praise the Lord. And I got to stay in school, and so forth and so on. But I wasn't looking forward to that. I was a little bit scared about that, and that's what judgments are like, some. There was another kind of judgment that I had to deal with in school. I changed my major from physics to Bible after my sophomore year in college. The Lord had called me into ministry some years before, but I fought him and fought him. I said, Lord, I cannot speak in front of people. I just cannot speak in front of people. That's all there is to it. I have terrible stage fright. I could sing, but I can't speak. The Lord kept working at me and working at me, and finally, after my miserable sophomore year in college, I surrendered to go into the ministry. One of the things I immediately had to do was take pulpit speech. And in pulpit speech, not only do you have to speak, not only do you have to preach, but you have to preach in front of in my case, the teacher of my class being the dean of the Bible department. And so when I preached my sermon, I had to get up in class and I had to preach to him. In some cases, I had to preach to them. And that was a little scary too. They were my judges. They were going to give me my what? My grade as to how I did. And they were going to tell me how I did in front of the whole class. And that was very scary to me. Now, that wasn't the same as having to go before the dean of the students. I wasn't in trouble. I hadn't done anything wrong. But yet, it was a little scary as well. Two different kinds of judgments. Two different courts. Two different judgment days, so to speak. And we find a similar thing in Scripture that we're going to look at today. Two different judgments, two different things to be judged for and about. The Bible says, if you look in 2 Corinthians 5:10, it says, "For we must," what's that next word? "All appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." The Bible says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, in this passage, this is talking to Christians. And it says that all Christians will stand before this judgment. This judgment, the judgment seat of Christ. In Hebrews 9:27, we cited earlier, says, "And it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment," speaking of all men. We will all die, and therefore we will all face God's judgment after the end of this life. Who is going to be the judge? Well, it says here in 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The judge is Christ. Is he only the judge of Christians? No, he is also the judge of the unsaved also. Two different judgments, two different groups of people, but one what? One judge. In John 5:22 it says, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." The one who died for the sins of mankind is the one who will judge all mankind one day. "It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment." In Acts 17:30 through 31, Paul writes, "And the times of the ignorance God winked at, but now God commandeth all men everywhere to repent of their sinful condition, to recognize their sin and humbly come to Jesus Christ to be saved from it. God hath commanded all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead." Who is that man that will judge the world? Jesus Christ, the one that is risen from the dead. "I am not your judge." You are not your judge. God, Jesus Christ in particular, is your judge. And he will judge you and me someday. The righteous at the judgment seat of Christ, or the Bema seat, a place of reward. The lost at the great white throne judgment, a place of punishment. Look, if you would, in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. Revelation 20, verse 11. "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You see two judgments in Scripture. One for those whose names are what? Not found written in the book of life. That's the great white throne judgment. All that appear before that judgment will be cast into the lake of fire. As their works were revealed, their sinful and wicked heart, and their rejection of Jesus Christ as Savior. The other judgment for those names who are found written in the book of life, the judgment seat or the bema seat of Jesus Christ, a place of reward rather than a place of punishment. Two different judgments. One, where the sentence of punishment will be carried out. Another, for reward. This morning, we're going to begin by looking at the group whose names are written in the book of life, and then we'll come back to Revelation 20 and look at the second group. The ones whose names are written in the book of life. First, quickly, and we'll come back to this, how did their names get written in the book of life? Well, it's very simple. God told us in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting" what? "Everlasting life." Those whose names are written in the book of life are those that have everlasting life. And there's only one way to have everlasting life. And that's to come to God through faith in Jesus Christ, his Son. Trusting in him alone to save your soul and to forgive your sin. If you have done that, I did that when I was 9 years old, then your name is written there in God's book. We will stand before him someday, but we will stand before him in heaven. We will stand before him in judgment, but it's not judgment to be punished, but it's a judgment to receive our grade, to receive our reward for how we have served him. That is the judgment that's being referenced here in 2 Corinthians 5:10. The word translated judgment is the word bema. It is a seat, a place of reward. In the Olympic Games, back in the days of Paul, or they didn't call them Olympic Games, there were other more local games. The Isthmian Games were very popular in Corinth, which is the church that he is writing. They were very familiar. The Roman emperor or another leader would come. They would oversee the games, and whoever won the race, whoever won the competition, would receive a laurel crown that would go on their head before the bema seat, which is where the ruler would sit and reward the crown. This is the illustration that is being used here in reference to this judgment of those whose names are written in the book of life. Turn, if you would, back to 1 Corinthians 3:10-15. 1 Corinthians 3 and 10 through 15. Paul goes in a little more detail here as to this judgment. Okay? 1 Corinthians 3:10. I think I'm going to start in verse 9. Verse 9. "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Paul said to the Corinthians, "I have laid the foundation." How did he do that? Well, he proclaimed the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ came and died on a cross for our sins and rose again from the dead and offers salvation to all to come, for all who come to him by faith. That is the foundation. Going to verse 11. Back to verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So here are the details concerning illustration or this of this judgment that is to come, the judgment seat of Christ. We know Christ will stand before the Lord. Our works, those things that we did for the Lord Jesus Christ, what we did with our time, with our life, after we trusted Christ as Savior, as we became His children and His servants, will be laid out. And we will be rewarded accordingly. If we use the life that God gave us to bring glory to His name, to live for Him, to lay up treasure in heaven by doing things of eternal value, worshiping Him, serving Him, telling others about Him and His offer of salvation, then we have built upon that foundation gold, silver, and precious stones. And you know what fire does to those things? It purifies them. It purifies them. It does not destroy them. And the fire of His judgment will reveal that the things we did in life, we did for the Lord. And we will receive a reward. An A or a B. However, if as a child of God, we wasted the life that God gave us. We used our talents and time only for selfish gain. Then that's wood, hay, and stubble. What will happen when the fire of judgment tries those? They will be consumed. They will go up in smoke. And we will receive no reward. Yet the Bible says we will be saved, yet as by fire. In other words, if our names are written in the book of life, if we are a child of God, we will enter into heaven. Because the criteria for heaven is faith in Jesus Christ, not in our works. For by grace are ye saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But our rewards when we get there, those will be determined based upon our works. For the child of God has for the child of God, God has bountifully bestowed upon us many things to be used in His service. Talents and abilities from birth that God gave us as Creator. A relationship and gifts which we received by the Holy Spirit when we became a child of God at our second birth. A calling and various opportunities to use those gifts in His service and for His cause to build upon the foundation that He has laid in Himself by His death and resurrection and ascension by our salvation. God has given us talents, abilities, and gifts and opportunities. He has called us to a ministry in the home, in the church, and in society. We will be judged as Christians before by Him one day as to how we use those things that He gave us. You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 25 about a parable that Jesus told. It's called the parable of the talents. It says there, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his servants and delivered unto them his goods. So he was going away. And before he went away, he called his servants together and he said, I want you to take care of my stuff while I'm gone. My business while I'm gone. And so he divided it up amongst them, entrusted it to them. It says in verse 15, and unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. We're not all the same. God has given us different gifts and different talents, and has called us to different callings. But God has given us all time and talents and gifts to be used. Some 5, some 2, some 1. But we have all received something in Jesus Christ to be used for him. Verse 16, Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. In other words, he made 5 talents more. 17, and likewise he that had 2 talents, he also gained other 2. Verse 18, but he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. So 2 of them worked. They took what the master had given them, they put it to work, they put it to use, and it multiplied. So they would have more to give back when their master returned, to show that they had been good stewards of that which had been entrusted to them. The other one, he went and took what his master gave him, he dug a hole, he threw it in the ground, and he did no work and nothing for his master while he was gone. He wasted his time. He wasted his effort and had nothing to show for that time when his master returned. That brings us to the next verse, verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. In other words, he took account. Verse 20. So he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. He also said the same thing likewise of the one who had taken 2 and put that to work and gained 2 more. But in verse 24 it says, then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering while thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth, and lo, thou hast that is thine. You know, sometimes some people, when they get afraid, when you get nervous, when there's something big coming up, we want to hide. We're scared. We don't know what to do. And so we freeze and we do nothing. And then when the time comes, we've messed up. You know, that's what this man did. His fear was not the proper fear. It wasn't the fear that motivated him to go and do things for the Lord. It was more of a paralyzing fear. It caused him to do nothing. The Bible says that we should fear the Lord, but it is a fear that should compel us to what? To do things for the Lord, to serve the Lord, that we might have to give back to Him, to bring glory to His name. Because God does reward that. This man did nothing. In verse 26, his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowest not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury, or at least interest. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Here is a warning. God has given to us such wonderful things. What are we doing with it? Because, be sure of this, we will be judged. We will be judged as Christians for what we have done with what God has given to us. And the world will be judged one day at the great white throne judgment for what they did with Jesus Christ. Make no mistake, we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. I think I have a verse here for you. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your what?
Reasonable
service. You see, it's only reasonable that we who were redeemed by the blood of Christ, who gave His life on Calvary's cross, who has bestowed upon us such wonderful and precious promises and gifts and blessings and eternal life, should take the life that He has given us here and use it to bring glory to His name, to lay up treasure not upon earth, but treasure in heaven. Whether we acknowledge it or not, we are now being tried and tested in our service and life for the Lord. Test day is not to come. Test day is now. Test day is not the Bema Seat of Christ, Christian. Test day is today. The Bema Seat of Christ is just the day you find out what grade you made. You know, sometimes my kids take tests in school. Sometimes they find out that evening what grade they made, depending on the teacher. Sometimes it takes 3 weeks to find out what grade they made. For us, it may be 20 years or 30 years or 50 years, but the day is coming when we will see what grade we made. And the test day is now. What grade will you make in that day? What will be revealed about what you have built upon the life that God has given you through Jesus Christ? What things will God judge us upon that day? Well, the Bible speaks of good works. I quoted from part of this earlier. It says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." In the first part of this text, it says, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." And the next verse says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in Him." A contradiction? No. How does your name get written in the book of life? By your works? No. By your faith. By grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Not based upon your work, but based upon the work that Jesus Christ did for you on the cross of Calvary. We're not saved by works. Our name doesn't get written in that book by works. It gets written in that book by faith in Jesus Christ, who did the work for us. However, once you are saved and become a child of God, as your Father has expectations of that you would live in such a way to bring glory to His name. Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." 1 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." The passage concludes with this, "that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Titus 2:14, I have that up here? Yeah. "Who gave, speaking of Jesus Himself, for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of, eager to do good works for the glory of the One who saved our soul and gave us life." Matthew 6:19-20, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." That verse goes right along with 2 Corinthians 5:10. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." Why should you lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven? Because one day God is going to hold us accountable we will give an account unto him as his children upon that day. How are you doing? How are you doing? How will your works be measured? Well, the Bible tells us it's not only your actions that will be measured, it is also your motives. You see, God, the man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the what? On the heart. If your heart is not right with God, then your actions mean very little to him. 1 Corinthians 4:5, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come. Why? But, well, he's the judge. Who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. God who knows the heart, God who knows the whole story, when he comes, or when we stand before him, he will give the proper judgment. He will mete out the proper reward. We may have everybody else fooled, but you'll never fool who? God. The Pharisees in their day had almost everybody else fooled, but one, and that was God. Jesus said, they're like a whited sepulcher. They looked real pretty on the outside, but inside their heart was full of dead man's bones. They were full of sin and corruption. Their motives were all selfish. And the vast majority of them had no relationship with God. Their names weren't even written in the book of what? The book of life. They wouldn't even stand at this judgment. They were going to stand at the what? At the other one. And make no doubt, the other one is coming. For not everyone will stand at the Bema seat. The vast majority will be at the great white throne judgment. Back to Revelation chapter 20 as we finish up this morning. Those whose names were not found written in the book of life, who did not receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, and his forgiveness for their sins based upon his death on Calvary, will have to account for their sins themselves because they didn't accept God's offer of salvation. And so the books will be opened here in Revelation 20, and they will be judged based upon their works. And what does the Bible tell us about our works? Hold Revelation, turn back if you would to Romans chapter 3. Turn back, if you would, to Romans chapter 3. Yeah, that's the next. There we go. Romans 3, 10 through 18. Romans 3, 10 through 18. Yes, I skipped a couple verses up there for the sake of time. Verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. How many people in themselves are righteous? No, not one. No, not one. If we are to be judged based upon our works and based upon our heart, we would all be found guilty. Verse 11, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. They don't care about eternity. They don't care about the judgment. And therefore, they live for themselves. And they do not prepare for the coming judgment. And it is coming. You say, but Pastor, I don't shed innocent blood. You know, and I'm not a real bad person, you know. I care for people, and I give to things, and I'm a good neighbor, and I was a pretty good father or mother or husband or wife. But see, you're not going to be judged based upon your judgment, or my judgment for that matter. We're going to be We're going to be judged based upon God's standards. For instance, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Ever done that? Oh my. You just took his name in vain. Third commandment. Is it of lesser value than the first one? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. How about thou shalt not bear witness, false witness against thy neighbor? That means don't lie. Ever lied? I have. I dare say you have too. Honor thy father and mother. Ever dishonored your father and mother? You say, no, I honor them all the time. Oh yeah, you did that when you were a child. You never disobeyed them? I don't think so. We've all broken God's law because we're sinners in our heart. The only one who can change that is Jesus Christ. The only one who can change our eternal condemnation in hell is Jesus Christ. The only one who can forgive us is Jesus Christ. The only one who can keep us from having to be at this judgment is Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. The Bible says in John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And the Bible says that all that stand in this judgment have already been what? Condemned. This judgment is for the purpose of carrying out the sentence. That is its purpose. And all whose names were not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. And how long does this judgment last? For all eternity. It says in another passage in Revelation that the smoke, the fire, and the sound of their torment will not cease. One day Moses was walking on Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai. And in the distance he saw a bush that was on fire. But the bush didn't what? It didn't burn up. And it would seem from Scripture that when one is cast into the lake of fire, that you will not burn up, but that you will be separated from God in torment for all eternity. But there is a way of escape. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, for you. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The punishment for sin is death. The first death and the second death, cited here. Let's look at this entire passage. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. We were already condemned. God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Why did Jesus come? To die on the cross for us, that we might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. If you're without Christ, you're already condemned, but there is a way of escape. There is a way to escape that condemnation. There is a way to escape that faith. If you will repent and trust in Jesus Christ to save you from sin and hell, you'll do so. He said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He said, for whosoever shall call in the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you done that? Do you know? Are you ready for judgment day? For judgment day is coming. Do you know which judgment you will stand at? Do you know that you will escape the second death? And Christian, do you know what kind of grade making, what kind of house you're building? Because one day we'll either see it survive the judgment of God, or we will see our life go up in smoke. What are you doing with the life God has given you here? Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for what you did for us. We pray, Lord, you would forgive us of our failures. And for those of us who know you as Savior and are your children, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to turn away from our selfish ambition and our nature, to trust you, to follow you, to serve you with all our heart, to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, not merely treasures on earth. Lord, help us to see that the treasure in heaven is of far greater value than the money in the bank, or the house that we own, or the car that we drive, or the power or fame that we receive here. Lord, may we do the things that glorify you. May we proclaim your word that others may be saved and go to heaven with us someday. Lord, I pray that we will see the value and the necessity to live for you. For it is our reasonable service. And Lord, I pray most of all, if there's one here today that's never trusted in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life, that as we give this hymn of invitation this morning, they would come. They would come and be saved. They would come that we might share with them how they can be saved today and know it, so they need not fear coming judgment. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.